That is great. Well, good morning. Welcome as we come back to our series, We Can Do More Together. We talked about this about 3-4 weeks ago and had first two rounds. Today we're going to hit it again. Next week we got one more coming at you to finish it up. But so glad today we got our friends from our partnership at Tehachapi Valley Elementary this last year, this school year. So we're excited to have them with us here this morning. They'll be up here shortly. And also just... you know, I don't know about you, but mentioned earlier at the first round of the first week of this thing, we talked about the anxiety of walking into that Walmart and seeing all the school supplies. There's a lot of anxiety with that. Well, this last week, it was the anxiety of walking out into these stores and not seeing any of those supplies because we still need some, you know, and a lot of anxiety going around with the fall here, but we're going to try to look at, as we've been trying to prepare as a church, you know, the focus is really what we can accomplish when we're connected by a common message or a common vision. There's a unique momentum, you know, when you lead and when you can talk and work or teach or influence with one voice. And so as a church, if you've been around here as our church body, our mission, we like to say we're all about encouraging, equipping, and empowering our people to love God and love others. Like, those are the two things that we're really about. We want to see each person coming here falling more deeply in love with God and then willing to put their feet to the ground and go love someone else, you know, someone else in their circle of influence. And we don't hide the fact that Vision 2020 identifies those others. We're focusing more in on young families. We are saying that Vision 2020, we want to serve and be ready to serve more and more young unchurched families of our community. And that's our passion. That's driving where we're going as a church body, our vision, our mission, and our vision. And we're calling every generation to invest younger. We're calling every generation to reach out and serve our children ministry, our student ministry, and just thank you so much. Frank shared some of the results of our first 2 weeks there, and just some of you that have joined in that way. That's just absolutely awesome. There's great momentum in the children's ministry and the student ministry, and we're going to look some today at the community as well and how we can serve the young people of our community and want to continue that momentum as we go into the fall. So today and next week, we're going to look again at lessons from Nehemiah. And he gives us these lessons that are timeless. That on the surface, it looks at, hey, what we can do more when we work together. And then it also is an indicator or can imply this idea that, you know, when we work together, when we do something together, it really has the potential to affect the next generation and how they view God. How they view God. So, Lord, that's where we're going. That's what we want to, our heart and our passion. We want to join your heart and your passion, God, with a God-sized vision for our next generation. Lord, we pray that you would just open our church body's heart today. You pray that you'd open our minds to our community today, that through the example of Nehemiah, that just like you worked in his day and did miraculous things, we pray that in our day, we would see your hand at work and see you moving mightily, not only in our lives, not only in our church body, but also in our community here as well. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so if we head back to the intro, we talked about Nehemiah, how he's this normal guy, cupbearer to the king, living day to day, serving King Artaxerxes down in Persia and or Babylon, and we mentioned how that was maybe down south, down towards like the Outer Banks, 600 miles away, and that kind of thing and whatnot. But he looked at the brokenness of his town. He was in Babylon, and he looked at, say, this was Jerusalem here. He looked up at Jerusalem. He says, hey, there's this problem. He looked at that brokenness, and he gave us a model. By the way, he dressed the brokenness in his town and in his area. He gave us this model that I think can apply to us even today, apply to us as we try to invest in the next generation. And the first thing, if you think back, we talked about how he named what's broken. When he heard the report that the walls were still broken down, the city was not doing good, He named it. He called it what it was. If we can't name the problem, we can't fix the problem. He started there. But he didn't just stop there. Then he leveraged whatever he had. Remember, he was a cupbearer to the king, so he had unique access to the ruler of the land, unique access to the throne, and he leveraged that. He used what he had, and he risked everything, literally. Like, he could have been killed at that moment, and it was really a, you know, he went out of his way and put his life on the line. Pretty incredible. Could definitely have been viewed as disrespectful or disloyal, you know, to the king of Babylon in that case, the Persian king. And then finally, he went to see it for himself. He put himself where he was needed. He got personally involved. And I don't know if you remember the quote, proximity always changes your perspective. The closer you're willing to get, the more involved you're willing to engage, you will be able to then better serve or be able to reach or be able to help in those situations. And we see this model in the life of Nehemiah. And why does it matter? Because there's this generation. There's the next generation sitting in the wings looking at you and I. People who say we love God. People who say we want to love others. And they're wondering how close we're willing to get. They're wondering how far we're willing to go in our belief. Do we really believe it enough that it's going to impact the way we live our lives? Do we really believe it enough that we're gonna die on that hill, you know, in a sense? Like, it means something. And they're wondering, are we going to come close enough to them personally? So there really is no substitute in a kid's life for a consistent leader, or I would say for an adult that cares. For an adult that cares. I love Pastor Aaron in the week two. He mentioned this quote from C.S. Lewis, this phenomenal quote. He said it'll mess you up. And it will, if you think about it. He said, there are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. That's C.S. Lewis talking. It's so true. Like, as we look at these students, as we look at these children, as we look at our next, as you look to the person right next to you, there are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Each person has an intrinsic value. Simply because you're created in God's image. It's a beautiful thing. And so that's why we're calling everyone to invest younger, to get involved in the next generation. So this is where we're going today, Nehemiah 2. And we're going to look at this idea of vision and resistance. Vision and resistance. Okay? I'm going to start here in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And then I'll read a few more verses for you there. But Nehemiah, I love his passion, I love his conviction. In the face of great challenge. So he went on to Jerusalem. He did that travel from the Outer Banks back up to Quakertown. And he walked it with a bunch of people. And after staying there 3 days, because he was tired from his travels, obviously, he set out during the night with a few others. He had not told anyone what God had put in his heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with him except for the one that he was riding. He was the only one riding something. By night, they went out through the valley gate, through the jackal well, through the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then he moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for him even to get through that area. So he went up to the valley at night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had not told nothing to the Jews or to the priests or the nobles or the officials or any others who would be doing the work. And I love this picture of Nehemiah. He got personally involved. He took ownership for that problem, and he physically was a hands-on leader that he went out there and he surveyed that wall by night, and he checked it out and really tried to understand what was going on. Then, this cupbearer, it's pretty cool. This cupbearer, he gets a voice. He wakes up. And he says to them, he says to the leaders, you see the trouble you're in. Jerusalem lies in ruin. Its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall. That's the vision. Come, he's inviting them in. Let's rebuild this wall. We will no longer be in disgrace. He also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let's start building. So they begin that good work. See, it's a beautiful picture of Nehemiah getting his voice. You see it for the first time. And sometimes it just takes that one person or that one voice to change the trajectory of a whole group of people and do a world of good. It's amazing what vision can do to in any different area, but in this area, it's incredible. As you look at the story of Nehemiah, what this one voice does in that situation is incredibly powerful. I think of the example of, you know, we each have our own voices, right? Each of us has a voice. And our words are powerful. And we can speak vision. We can speak life into situations. And it's incredible as you look at Nehemiah, literally these walls are dead. And through his efforts and the efforts of those around him, those walls come to life. Not only those walls, the people come to life. But I was thinking about this and just some examples of this. The first one I think of is the music camp and the summer fun camp. But I loved Danny and the Shacks, you know, and they were that voice in their time to King Neb and all of his people. And they were that one voice calling them back, right? All those different times, time after time, different thing. They were going against the crowd. They were going against the grain. And they were that voice that was calling them out, calling them to a new decision, to a new path. I think another example of this is the partnership that we've had with the school district over the last year and with Tohickan. And I'm going to invite them up here. We're going to do a little interview. And I think it's neat to see how with one voice we were able to better the community and better the relationship there. So come on up here. I'm going to try to pull these chairs over and get mics out here. And they came here first service. They were like, oh, so we're going up on the stage. And I was like, oh, yeah, didn't I tell you that? So that wasn't quite that bad. But we are so honored to have with us Mrs. Lubineski and Dr. Bradley. And this is Jeanette Langreen from our church here. And we are just wanting to maybe highlight the partnership was the first thing we were thinking. Oh, I forgot the mics. Highlight the partnership and thank those that were involved. And then also it gives us a natural opportunity to invite you guys into this because you have those cards right there in front of you there. And I got some mics right here. Mrs. Lubineski here, she has just, after 30 years of serving our children and our community, has just retired and has no stress going into her September. She also has her first grandchild, which is wonderful.
Oh, I have a little grandson, my first. Born on July 19th, and he's a year old. His name's Levi Aiden. So oh, I'm in awesome. Love.
I'm sure. That's awesome. And Dr. Bradley was principal at Tohickan, is now the principal over at Poth Elementary, and she's been a great gift to us, and we've enjoyed the relationship, and also is a pastor at a church over in Spring City. Yeah, I got that wrong first time, but yeah, it's great to have her a part of this. And then you guys should know Jeanette. She's was a great help with our volunteers and with our team here. So you're going to hear from each of them. We thought we'd try to share the story a little bit, you know, and highlight what took place this last month and or this last year, school year, I'm sorry. And we're going to start with Nancy. She's going to share some of how this all began.
Okay. So I was sitting in my church one Sunday, and the pastor was asking people to volunteer and to purchase school supplies because they were going to fill backpacks for a local school. And I thought, wow, that's a really nice idea. I wonder if anybody does that for our school. And then I kind of talked with people around the community, and there are some partnerships with churches and schools throughout the community. And I thought, this is a great idea, but we could do a lot more with a church. I would love to have them be able to come into our schools and see what we do. So I got to school the next week, and I talked to Karen, who worked at TV with me, and we talked about it, and she kind of liked the idea, and I asked her to talk to her husband about it, and he seemed to really like the idea. There were so many possibilities, and we all had different thoughts and visions. And then we all got together, yeah. Dr. Bradley, Pastor Dave, and myself, and we talked about what that would look like. And we were seeing that this might be our last year. So we came together and we talked about best year yet, that we would get together and do things to make this a great year for the kids and for our staff. And it was wonderful. It was a blessing. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, it was really neat. Like about just a little over a year ago, Karen and I were out walking in the park over at the Rasa Fields, and we ran into Nancy over there, and sort of, that's where that vision sort of was birthed, this idea, hey, they didn't know for sure if it would be the last year at Tohicken at that point, but we're like, if it's going to be the last, let's make it the best. And it's sort of where that vision, that voice came together, and it really was a gift for the year. And so that invited us in there, and Jeanette was such a gift to us as a church in helping to gather and manage the volunteers. Missy did a great job of getting things started and then got Jeanette involved.
Yes, Missy told me the story about the best year yet, and then she asked me if I would be interested in going into a classroom for about an hour a week and maybe reading. And I said, oh, that sounds good. I would like to do that. And then she comes back and, would you like to head up this committee and get the volunteers together? So you don't say no to Missy, so, you know. I went along with it, and I had 5 wonderful volunteers, Bobby Etzel, Bob Smith, Barbara Schmoyer, Joan Landis, and Denise Bentz. And between the 6 of us, we would go into the school regularly once a week and help wherever needed. It could be running off papers. It could be working with kids individually, with small groups. And it was just a really way of us to give. And then we received, of course, at the same time by the love of the kids back to us. So it was a great opportunity. And apparently, it might be another opportunity for those out there, if you that are retired, semi-retired, or either part-time workers or whoever who might want to work with these kids. It's just a really neat opportunity to share and help the growth of children.
Yeah. Denise Betts, she had written down a little note, and I wrote it down here. She said, spending time with the children was priceless, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. And it just really was meaningful from our side to be able to spend that time with those children and be involved in that way. I don't know if you wanted to share.
Yeah, I'd like to share. Bobby was our helper in our classroom, Miss Bobby, and she was just wonderful. And she came in, she knew some of the kids already from your preschool program. And she helped kids academically, but when I was thinking about it a little bit ago, she was always helped and just sat with the children and talked to them. Second graders have a lot to say. And she used to just sit and listen. Sometimes I don't have the time to sit and listen to what they have to say, and I'd love to, but she sat and listened to them. She took them for walks. She helped them on their spelling tests, and she was wonderful. She was a great part of our community.
Yeah, neat. That's awesome. Yeah. And then I wanted Dr. Bradley to be able to share, you know, what it meant to her, how it was came across from her perspective.
It was a phenomenal year, a phenomenal partnership. As the leader of the building at Tohicken Valley, we were faced with a lot of ambiguity mm-hmm. at the beginning of the year. We didn't know whether our school was going to close, and so we recognized that that would cause some unrest. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to be very proactive, and so blessed was I to be able to partner with your pastor and your whole church community mm-hmm. to meet the needs, because it extended beyond just volunteering. They did pretty much anything we needed them to do to make sure that our students and our staff did not feel the effects of ambiguity. And so it ended up being wonderfully transferable. We were all in really good spirits, and we were able to really navigate some really challenging times. Because once we learned in December that our school was going to close, then we had another season of ambiguity where we had to then decide, where were all the people going to go? Yeah. And so children were in angst, families were in angst, and the teachers, mm-hmm. they could have been. Mm-hmm. But thanks to you mm-hmm. and thanks to God, we didn't feel those effects mm-hmm. at our school because awesome. your church community was doing everything they could to make sure that we didn't feel it. So I cannot thank God enough mm-hmm. for this partnership because I recognize that this was truly a blessing that we'd like to continue now that I'm the principal at Pop Elementary. I really
some
do
of its own
continue.
Challenges, right?
Yes, please do. Feel free to let us know, let Jeanette know if you'd like to participate, because it would be a wonderful continued partnership, because we will be a part of the Eastmont family forever too. So it's great. So I just want you to know Pastor Dave said that your mission was to encourage, equip, and empower. And I need you to know, mission accomplished at Tickin Valley. Thank you so much.
They, you know, it was so neat. It was such a cool relationship, and they blessed us in so many different ways. I was at the closing party just for my daughter and just our involvement over there as parents, and they gave us this wonderful painting. Miss Caputo, who's the artist, painted it, and all the teachers put their fingerprints on there, and at the bottom it says, thank you for being a part of our Tohickan Valley family. And it just was a neat connection of, you know, as we're trying to be a church family and a church that's investing in the community, it's just neat to be invited into other families in the community. And we thank you guys so much. We gave them cards the first service. I didn't make them give them back because I thought that would be fake. Nancy, for her 30 years of investing in children and students in our community, that is absolutely awesome. And Dr. Bradley, we gave you a card too. They both have gifts in. You can go enjoy some time with your husband while you got all this time. And we gave you a little something too just to try to get you kick-started as you go into this year. Let's just give them a huge round of applause and thank them for their time. Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay, geez. Thanks. These mics. And you have that card in front of you. And I wanted to mention that as well. Like this is what we're talking about. I know there's not a box on there for the school district, but that's an option. Like, if that's something you want to get involved in or something that you could see yourself investing in, that's a great option to write that box on there and say you're interested in that. We would love to talk to you. We're going to get back to our message and just to transition back into Nehemiah. We got a little video clip from the movie here, We Bought a Zoo, and Benjamin B. is talking with his son. See if this is get us back into the storyline.
What happened with you and Lily?
I don't know. I guess I didn't listen to something she told me or something. I mean, I liked her. It's like you embarrass yourself if you say something, and you embarrass yourself if you don't.
You know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds. Of just embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come of it.
So trying to draw us right back into this message as we think about sometimes it just takes that 20 seconds of insane courage or that one voice that draws us right back into what God's doing, what God wants to do in a community or in a group or in a people. And galvanizes them and provides that vision and brings them together to accomplish something that they could only do together. And you see that from Nehemiah. And as Pastor Aaron mentioned as well last year, the second week, it was an interesting crew. There was perfume workers, there was market workers, there was politicians, there was preachers, and of course there was a cupbearer. All right, none of these were like expert builders, but there they were building this wall. And everyone that was needed was there in the city. I think that's an incredible point to think about. They were all there, and they were sitting there and not involved for a long time, but they chose to get involved. It's pretty cool when you think about it. Just that one voice called them into action. But the second point, the connection of vision and resistance. See, I think anytime you see a significant movement forward, it tends to surface or bring to the top that resistance. And you see that in the storyline of Nehemiah as well. You see at a critical stage, if you follow the storyline, you see a critical stage like halfway in, when it really began to unravel for him. The people were getting really concerned. They were tired. There was verbal attacks. There was threats. There was skepticism. There was complaints. Morale was really dipping. They were at a tough point. And literally, the people were beginning to panic. Their enemy was right outside their wall. Their wall was only half built. They didn't really have protection. And they were concerned for their lives. And they literally started to panic. I don't know if you've ever felt that, where you've sensed that type of resistance that's just a real challenge. many of you know that we're working in the community to expand the skate park, and incredible inroads there over this last year between the money that was raised, which the Goodlums, the team, the freefall team, the Goodlums, they're actually presenting at another church this morning at Swamp Church, and I can't wait to hear how it goes. They didn't send me a text message yet or a group shot. Where's that photo? I wonder if they really went. But anyhow, but it's cool that they're out there doing that. I think it's so neat. But, you know, I talked about that license agreement that was needed maybe a month ago. You know, that came through. It was absolutely awesome. That's a huge praise. This last week, we got the permits to start building, like, from the borough. Like, it can happen. But, you know, we also hit a roadblock. It's called a bonding insurance. Who would have thought? And I know it's way too much information for, but I'm definitely getting an education in all of this. But there's some resistance. There's some challenge. And there was one point there early in one meeting, I was like, oh, no, this is going to derail it. But I think we got a way through it. Seems like cash pretty much fixes about anything. And not quite, but this week, it's a critical week for us. We have a meeting Tuesday with more contractors that are key contractors to come in to help bring some of the costs down. And then we have another funding meeting on Thursday. That's a critical meeting. We can build now. Like, we're ready to go, but there's one more thing that's needed. And there'll probably be one more thing right after that, too. But there's that resistance. Any kind of significant movement forward, you tend to see that resistance. And Nehemiah was genius. When he gets to this moment, he rallies the families and the parents to this new level of responsibility. You have to see what he does here. They're hitting incredible resistance. In chapter 4, 13 and 14, therefore he stations some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them as families with their swords, their spears, their bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and he said to the nobles, to the officials, to the rest of the people, he said to all of them, again, he gets his voice. And he says, don't be afraid. I love that song. I'm no longer a slave of fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord and fight for your families. Remember the Lord who's great and awesome. He's going to come through. But you're going to have to get out there and put your feet to the ground. You're going to have to do something. Fight for your families, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, for your homes. See, in that moment, I don't know if you can feel the emotion of that moment, but if you put yourself in there, could you just imagine what those families were thinking? See, it was no longer about a wall. It was no longer just about a city. No, this is about your family. This is about your children. This is about your wife. This is about your home. I'm not ready to pick a fight with a guy who's fighting for those reasons. You know what I mean? Like he's all in at that point. He's personally invested at that point. It's incredible. It's not simply, and if you look at Nehemiah and you look at his prayers, it's not simply even about a building project. No, it's actually about their faith. See, he wanted them to see that this was God who was doing it. This is God who was accomplishing this. And that's what we want the next generation to see. You know, it's the same for us in the community as we're working with this park. Yes, we're expanding the park, but for us, it's so much more than that. We're trying to inspire this next generation to see Jesus as who he is. Like, he's a life giver. He takes dead places and dead people and dead walls and dead cities and all that stuff, and he brings it to life. He wants to do that in our life. He wants to do that in our community, and it's incredible. If you look at the storyline here, it's absolutely incredible. The parents were the game changer. They really were. The parents were the game changer. The enemy chose not to attack. And in 52 days, they were finished. Now think about that. Something that stood dormant and they just lived with for a century and a half, almost 150 years, was fixed, was taken care of. That ground was taken. In 52 days, when someone engaged and they rallied the group and they came together and they did something that could only be accomplished by them working together as a team, by them each contributing. That's what we're looking at here. That's what we're calling people to. You know, what would it look like? What would it look like for us to be a church, for us to be families that remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and we actively fight, we engage the battle. We invest in the next generation. We give our time, our efforts, our money. We turn our hearts towards that. I was thinking about this, and we were thinking about this a lot, like, what's this really look like? Because each family is different. We have our own challenges in our family, and I'm sure you do in your family too. And I think it circles right back to Nehemiah's model of addressing brokenness. See, check this out, his model of addressing brokenness. See, if we can have an honest conversation, where are we at? Name what's broken. What would it look like for you to have an honest conversation in your home? Hey, what's it like here? What's the things you love about this? What's the challenges that you face? Maybe an honest conversation about your spirituality, like where you're at in your relationship with God. Like, what questions do you have? Like, what are you thinking? Like, how's God showed up in your life lately? Like, start there and then leverage whatever you have. You have an incredible church family here that wants to come alongside of you. You have a God who's great and awesome that says, hey, reach out to me. Call out to me when you're, through prayer. You know, through the word. What verse speaks to that challenge that you're facing? And then how can you personally get involved? How can you dive in? Whatever that might look like. If you're too busy, you know, and work takes, what's it look like to schedule that time? What's it look like to address the real need or the real issue and to be honest about it? I don't know how your summer has been, but we had a great family vacation. We hadn't done that in a few years, but we had like 40 people down at the Outer Banks. It was awesome. Two houses, roof was thumping a little bit. It was a really, really good time, just so special as a family. And yet there was some real sadness there too, because I found out one of my family members and, was really questioning their faith and seriously, like, looking at that, has some really hard and difficult and real questions. And so as I run that through this framework, I say, okay, they have some real questions. What can I do for that? I can leverage whatever I have. I'm crying out to God for them. Hey, show yourself real in their life, in that person's life. You know, allow them to see that you are not a God of anger, you know, but you really care, you love. Jesus led with love. Like, he shed his life for us. What God did that? You know, I can cry out to them. I can support the family members, the other family members. I can get personally involved. I can take time to meet with that person. I had another email come in this week from someone in our congregation that's passionate about our college students and about their faith and their where they're walking away from the faith. It was deeply personal for that person. Again, what does it look like for us as a church to be honest about that challenge that's real for many students today? They leave church, they leave this area, and they leave their faith. You know, how can we leverage whatever we have? That's why we as a church, we're passionate about just naming it. Hey, we're investing younger. We are trying to equip parents. We would love to see parents just embrace this mission that you exist to pass that faith on to your children. And we want to support you in that, in anything we can do. We want to equip you to do that. You know, that's why we're calling every generation into this right now. Like, we truly think it's the most important thing for a child or a student to personally own their faith before they head out, before they leave. That's our desire. Another one that came across on online this week was a young man from the community, and he was talking about, in reference of suicide. He said, I know most people will skip my last post, which referenced suicide, but please understand that it's something to be shared. If you're suffering and know anyone suffering, please be available for them. Ups or downs with everyone. Don't be afraid to reach out and lend a hand. Whether you know the person or not, take that second to reach out. And listen to this. A little bit of friendship and encouragement could make a difference in someone's life. As far as I'm aware, this person is not a part of a church or anything like that. And they're connecting with exactly what we're trying to say, exactly what we see as we're trying to invest in this younger generation. One of the comments on another quote that was looking at the heroin epidemic and saying, how do you get out of that? A student that grew up in this church, no longer part of this church, but she posted about the challenge of coming out through withdrawal and pressing through that. But you know what she said? She said on the other end, it's worth it. It's worth it. And she has a life now that's much better than she was living then. And again, I have no idea about her faith, but what is she basically saying? What's it look like to fight for those kids? It looks like being an adult that cares, like being someone that's coming alongside of them and just trying to encourage and support them. That's why we're passionate about giving every student, every child, someone that will show them Jesus. That's really what it's about. See, I know it could be frustrating in some ways, maybe with where you're sitting and what you're hearing. But we really think this is the most important thing that we could be doing for our church family here, for our community. And we're inviting you into it. And we're expecting God to do things that are far beyond anything that we could ask, dream, or imagine. It's a beautiful thing. He already has, and he's continuing to do that. He wants to do that in your life as a parent, as a parent personally. I feel like I mess it up time and time again. Like just yesterday, literally. Like we feel beat down. And that's where we need. We need each other. We need Jesus and the strength that comes from his spirit indwelling us, you know, as we go out and try to impact, whether it's the people that are part of our the children and the families, a part of our church body here, or whether it's our partnership with the school district. So, Lord, I just thank you so much for Nehemiah. I thank you for his passion and for his challenge. May we be people, Lord, that remember that you are great and awesome and keep our eyes focused on you. God, I pray that would just, we'd be enamored as we walk away today. We'd be enamored with who you are and all that you've done for our lives. The fact that you loved us so much that you died for us, it's mind-boggling to even try to put our minds around that. But may we reflect on that and just appreciate that today, God. Be enamored by you in that way. And then, Lord, may we get in the battle. May we engage. May we in one way or another, no matter where we're at, as a child or as a student now, or as a parent, or as a young family, or as a retired person, whoever we are, Lord, help us to see the way we can engage today. And I pray over the school district, I pray over Dr. Bradley as she goes into this school year, Lord, I pray that you would just fill her with your spirit and use her mightily in our district. I thank you for Nancy and just bless her as she goes into this next season of life. Lord, I pray over our challenges with the Park Project, that you would go before our week for each person here, that your gracious hand would go ahead of us, just like you did in Nehemiah. God, we need your help. This is way beyond us. So fill us, Lord. Go before us and use us. Use us for eternal impact. In your precious name we pray. Amen.